Well, thanks so much to the candidates who were so helpfully sharing their story with us tonight about how Jesus has impacted their life and why they want to be baptized tonight. But I want to spend just a few minutes to share with you what baptism is all about. You might just think, this is wacko, why we would all meet here on Easter Sunday night to celebrate with these seven candidates as they go into the waters of baptism. But the amazing thing when you go into the Bible, if you were to spend time reading it tonight, you'll see in the last third of the Bible, which is called the New Testament, a number of places where it talks about baptism. In fact, in the Greek language, they use the word baptizo to describe people who go through the waters of baptism. It means to be drowned, quite literally. But they'll only be drowned for a second or two, and we'll bring them back up out of the water. It would have been used by some of the early writers to describe a ship that was traveling from one place to another, and when the storms came, that it was said to have been baptizoed. It was sunk in the storms. It went down to the bottom of the ocean. And then biblical writers took this word out of normal Greek language and culture to describe what happens tonight when these seven candidates go under the water. But then you say, why? Well, firstly, Jesus was baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist was baptizing people in the River Jordan. He went ahead of Jesus and he told people, repent, turn from your old life of sin, because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And one day as John was baptizing, the next thing, Jesus came over a particular mountain, and many people who were gathered there, they looked up to the mountain and saw Jesus walking down. And John said these words in John 1 verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But the story doesn't end there. Jesus came down to John in the River Jordan, and he asked John, he said, John, I want to be baptized too. And John sort of protested and said, Lord, no, you need to baptize me. But Jesus wanted to be baptized to show us what we should do. And you know, the amazing thing is that the whole Trinity, that means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, were there as they are here tonight when Jesus was baptized. When Jesus went down into the River Jordan, there was a voice from heaven, which is God the Father, and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So God the Father was there. God the Son, being Jesus, was there when he was being baptized. And then the Bible says in Matthew chapter 3 that the Spirit of God descended like a dove on Jesus. So why should we be baptized? Firstly, because Jesus was. Secondly, we should be baptized because of the Great Commission. You say, what's that? Well, some of Jesus' last words before he went back to heaven, he was with his disciples and he was giving them his last team talk before he would go. And he said to them in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, he said this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things. So Jesus was baptized, and then before Jesus went back to heaven, he said to his disciples to go into all the world and baptize others. Jesus was baptized, and Jesus told his disciples to go and baptize others. But then what does it mean? What does the tank mean tonight? What's happening spiritually? Well, I read this story that I'll share with you about a French writer in 1874. He tells a story of a conversion overheard in a trench full of wounded men during the First World War. One of the men, who knew he had only minutes to live, said to another man in the trench, listen, Dominic, you've led a very bad life. Everywhere you're wanted by the police, but there are no convictions against me. My name is clear. So here, take my wallet, take my papers, take my identity, take my good name, take my life, and quickly hand me your papers that I might carry all your crimes away with me to death. Amazing. This guy is dying. He's been wounded in the war. And some guy who was fighting with him had so many sins, had so many convictions, had done so many wrong things. The dying man knew that after the war was over, this criminal, who's a soldier at this time, he's going to be persecuted and punished for all of his sin. And yet the dying man said to the man who wasn't dying, who was a criminal, "Take my clean identity." And that's what happens in baptism. When these candidates go into the water of baptism, when they go down into the water, that symbolizes that they are dying with Jesus Christ. They're taking on his identity. And then when they're held under the water for just a second or two, it's a symbol that they are being buried with Jesus Christ and taking on his identity in his burial. And then when they come up out of the water, it's symbolizing that their old life of sin is dead and buried. That old identity is gone, and behold, the new has come. They now live in the resurrection power of Jesus when they come up out of the water. And I would love you to ask yourself the question, do you want to experience that as well? Do you want to experience this life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ? And I want to share with you for a few moments a little story about a man who had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. He was a man who was called an Ethiopian eunuch. And the first thing that happened to him in his life-changing experience was that he believed in Jesus Christ. Listen to what Acts chapter 8, verse 26 says. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go to the south road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship." Ethiopia was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem. This Ethiopian man was the treasurer of what we know as what's called Ethiopia. In his culture and in his day, he had it all. He had all the money that you could ever want. He had all the control you could ever want. He had all the power that you could ever dream of. And yet, there's something in this man that is making him travel 1,200 miles round trip from Ethiopia to Jerusalem and back. The Bible says he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. You see, I believe this Ethiopian man feels like how many of you feel tonight. You might have the money that you like. You might have the house that you like. You might have the toys and trinkets that you like. But you find like him, it just doesn't satisfy. And as you come here tonight, there's something about you that's drawn you here tonight to worship. It might have been someone that's invited you, but you've gone beyond just the invitation, and tonight you're interested. Tonight you want to know more. Tonight you want to know about the meaning of your life. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? And this Ethiopian eunuch, I believe, was asking these questions. But the amazing thing was, when he went to Jerusalem, he couldn't worship the way he wanted to. Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 1 says this: "No one who has been emasculated may enter the assembly of the Lord." So what has happened is this man has made a hundreds and hundreds of mile journey. He gets to Jerusalem. He goes to the temple, and somebody would have said to him at the door, "No, Mr. Eunuch, no Ethiopian man, even though you're the treasure, even though you're one of the top men in Ethiopia, now that you're in Jerusalem, you can't come in." It was a no-entry sign. But the amazing thing was, the people who would have been at the temple that day didn't realize what it means to be a follower of Jesus. They hadn't fully grasped that Jesus had come. And the Bible talks about the fact that Jesus has come. He has broken down the barrier between God and us. In the temple in Jerusalem, there used to be a large curtain. It would have been the thickness of the span of a man's hand. And only one time, once a year, could the great high priest enter into the very holy of holies in the Jerusalem temple. But you know, on Good Friday, which we as a church celebrated just 2 days ago, when Jesus died on the cross, do you know what happened to that curtain? It was torn in two from top to bottom. The way back to God was now open. And so whether you were a Jew or a Gentile or a barbarian or a Scythian or a Greek, whatever you were or whatever background that you come from, Jesus came and offered his love and his salvation to anyone who would believe. But this Ethiopian eunuch has not heard this good news yet. But Philip is going to share it with him. So the eunuch has gone to Jerusalem. There's a no entry sign into the temple. And so he leaves Jerusalem, absolutely gutted, absolutely disappointed. He is not able to worship God, even though his heart is yearning for God. But God has a plan. Verse 28. As the eunuch was on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot. Philip was a preacher of Jesus Christ. He ran up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said to him, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. And the Ethiopian eunuch said this almost in a frustrated. He had so much frustration in Jerusalem. He couldn't go in to worship God. And he said, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. Tell me about it. Just as Alan was explaining, when God's word is read, it's not we that preach to Alan or to you tonight. It is God, the Holy Spirit, that teaches. And so Philip began to explain to him. In verse 32, the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. And who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from him. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? You see, the prophet or this eunuch wanted to know, who is this Jesus? Is he real? Has he truly come? Has he really died? Is he really, has he been raised from the dead? He wanted to know the meaning of his life. And maybe you're asking the same question tonight. Tell me, please, he said. And then I love Philip's reaction, verse 35. Then Philip began with that passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. You say, what is the good news tonight? The good news is that the only thing you contribute to being a Christian is your sin. Some people say to me, Johnny, I could never be good enough to be a Christian. I say, you're right. You've got to be bad enough to be a Christian. It's the only thing you can contribute to God saving you is that you have sin for him to save you from. And when Paul was talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, he said this to the church at Corinth. He said, this is the good news, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins. Think about this tonight. All that you have ever done in your life, all the stuff that you would be ashamed if it went on this screen tonight, and everybody was able to see it, Jesus Christ has died for all of those sins. There's not just some of them that he's happy to die for, and then the really bad stuff, well, he's not going to die for that. He's died for them all. But he didn't just die for them. He was buried. Verse 4. But then he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. You see, this is phenomenal news. It's almost as if the good news is too good to be true. And I have loved sitting with people over the years when they start to, you can see it in their eyes where they're starting to grasp the fact that Jesus has really done this for them. And I love being able to say to them, do you know what Jesus says to you tonight? As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. I love to share another passage of scripture with him in Micah where it says that God takes all of our sins and he hurls them into the depths of the ocean. I love to share another passage of scripture with him in Isaiah where it says, though your sins be as red as scarlet, I can make them whiter than wool. Wouldn't it be amazing for you to be able to experience that tonight? To know that when you breathe your last breath on this earth and you go to the judgment seat of God, that you're able to say to God the Father, don't look at me because my record's horrendous, but will you look at your son's record? Will you take his record for my record? That's the amazing good news about Jesus Christ. He will give us his perfect record. So this eunuch believes in Jesus Christ, but then secondly, he's baptized into Christ. Listen to what happens next. As they travel along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? I heard a young boy talking about baptism in a Sunday school, and he said, this was his definition of baptism, I think he was about 8. It's when the preacher holds you under the water and you think about Jesus. It's funny, but it's good. It's funny, but it's really good. That when these candidates go into the water tonight, some of the sins that they might be thinking about, Jesus says they are now cleansed for. The price has been paid for them. And you might say, well, then why do they do it in front of us all tonight? Well, there was another child who came up to a pastor and said this, when can I get advertised? He meant baptized, but he made the right point. All of these 7 candidates are saying, when we are going underneath the water, we recognize that this symbolizes the fact that all of our sins have been paid for, all of our sins have been cleansed for. It almost seems too good to be true. And they want to advertise to you tonight. They want to let you know that they love Jesus and that Jesus loves you. He does. And you can experience the salvation of sin tonight. If you believe in Christ, tonight they're going to be baptized in Christ. And then thirdly, this eunuch belonged to the body of Christ. Verse 38, then he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him. Wouldn't that have been interesting if I was in here baptizing these folks and they come up out of the water and look around and go, where's Johnny gone? The eunuch didn't see him disappear. But I love how Luke tells us how the eunuch's feeling. But the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. 600 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, gets to Jerusalem. He wants to worship God. He wants to find the meaning for his life. He had all the money the world had to offer. He was a top dog in Ethiopia, but yet there was a no entry sign. They didn't understand Jesus at the temple. They didn't understand Jesus had come. And now he's making the long 600 mile journey back on some rickety old chariot. And then amazingly, Philip comes up to him and says, Jesus Christ has come. And he went back 600 miles, rejoicing. The Bible calls finding salvation the pearl of great price. The most significant pearl you could ever find in your life. And it would be my prayer that tonight, perhaps for the very first time, you might experience the absolutely phenomenal, amazing, life-changing love of Jesus Christ. Let me just pray, and we're going to sing again, and then the candidates are going to come forward, and we'll sing about a verse in between each one of them as they go through the waters of baptism. So let's pray now and then ask God's blessing on them. Our Father, we thank you for your great love to us tonight. In that while we were yet still sinners, you sent Christ to die for us. Father, we're conscious tonight that we might think about potentially dying for a good person. We might dare to think about doing such a thing. But we praise you, Father, that when your son died, he didn't die for good people. He died for sinful people like us here tonight. We praise you, Father, that you made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us tonight, so that we might become perfect in your eyes. We pray tonight, Father, as your word has gone forth, that it will speak very clearly and pertinently into many people's hearts tonight who are searching for meaning, who have realized that a career can't satisfy, that money can't satisfy, that relationships cannot satisfy, but only you can fill our deepest longing. So, Father, again, as these candidates go through the baptismal waters tonight, may it be again another symbolic representation to each one of us tonight that you so love this world, that you sent your one and your only Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but would taste and would see and would have eternal life. Amen.